In just a moment, we're going to be joined by the general manager of the Dallas Stars. They weren't part of what was an action-packed night of puck for everybody watching across this country, but they have been very busy of late, and they've been busy climbing their way up the standings after a very tough start. Stars have won 7 of 8, so they're enjoying a few days off before hosting the Winnipeg Jets on Sunday. Without any further ado, my pleasure to welcome to the program, nice to speak with him again, the general manager of the Dallas Stars, Jim Neal, joins us here. Jim, thank you very much for doing this. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate that.
Anytime. You are welcome anytime. And it's a good time for you guys after what was a very difficult start. You look at the schedule, and you don't have to have seen any Stars game to read the numbers. Those give a fairly clear indication as to why your team's fortunes have turned. But I'm interested in your assessment, Jim. What got the Stars pointed in the right direction so quickly after that surprisingly poor start?
Well, it's funny. You kind of go back to training camp. You know, we started training camp, got in exhibition games, and we really didn't like how we're playing. Now, you know, there's two mentalities you can kind of have. You can say, well, it's training camp. We'll get through the exhibition games and we'll be okay. And that's okay if you come out of it. Well, we didn't. We struggled in exhibition games, and we continued that way in the regular season. Why is that? I really don't know, but we got off to a tough start. We could have probably won 2 or 3 of those games that we lost in the 7 that we lost, but we didn't, and now you're really behind the 8 ball. And it's a funny game sometimes. Like I said, we were playing towards the end of those 7 games, we were playing pretty good but still losing, and that happens sometimes. And finally we had a game where we were behind 3-1, and I just think the players said they'd had enough, and they came out in the third period. That's when we scored the 5 goals, and ever since then we've gone on a run. So is it confidence? Who knows what it is? I think if anybody's got that magic button, they'd be a pretty valuable member in a coaching staff or management team in that. So, every team's going to go through it. We got through it, and now we're playing the way we should be playing, the way we're playing kind of later in the year last year. So, like I said, I like where we're at right now, but you got to remember this is a pretty humbling game, and the league is very tight, and it can change the other way quick, so you just got to stay with it.
It's interesting that you talk about how your team was playing as opposed to the results themselves, because that's been a common refrain in Western Canada with teams like the Flames and teams like the Canucks on different sides of that conversation. When you say you didn't like how your team was playing, what specifically was it?
We'd lost our identity. We got pretty good speed. We're probably kind of deceptive. We got some pretty fast, some younger kids have come in. We got pretty good speed now, but we weren't skating. We play a heavy game and a tight game, and we weren't heavy. We weren't tight. And then the other thing, and I think it's a common denominator with a lot of teams nowadays, whether you're playing well, winning or losing, our special teams really struggled. Our power play is still towards the bottom. It's getting a little bit of life now, and our penalty killing was struggling. So if your power play struggling, your penalty killing struggling, and you're not playing the way you should, you probably get the results you're going to get, and they're not good results. And we've kind of turned that around. Our power play now looks like it's the way it should be with the talent we have, and the PKs move back up into the top 10. So that had a lot to do with it. But in the end, it was the players had to, they had to decide that it was time to play the right way, and they did that.
Jim Neal, the general manager of the Dallas Stars, joining us here on the Scott Rintoul Show. You talk about your identity, and a lot of that last season was wrapped up in the way you guys played defense and kept pucks out of your own net. During this 7 wins in 8-game stretch, you've only given up 9 goals. What sparked the group's recommitment to a team defense?
Well, I think it's I think the leadership in our room finally said, guys, this is who we are. We got to do it, and they stepped up, and it's how we're built. We got a great goaltending tandem in Bishop and Khudobin. We got some real good mobile puck moving defensemen and some guys that can defend that are heavy and hard. So we got a good mix. And then, the coaches have put in a good system that was successful last year. I think if you look at a lot of the top teams right now, the teams that are playing consistent, I think there's one denominator. They play solid hockey in all zones. It's defensive zone. It's getting pucks out. It's getting pucks in deep. It's no turnovers in neutral zone. And then there's no secret. New York Islanders had won. I think they won 9 out of the last 10. They lost in a shootout or overtime last night. You look at Washington. You look at St. Louis. You look at Boston. Those are teams that play tight hockey, and because of that, they still get opportunities to score. But it's the attention to detail in all the zones that kind of create all these scoring opportunities. And if you stick with that identity, you're going to win more than you're going to lose.
Miro Heiskanen was a revelation in his rookie year last year, and he seems to have picked up just where he left off. Is he already your best defenseman?
Well, he's one of them. We've got three pretty good guys. They're all a little bit different, but John Klingberg's very good for us also, and Esa Lindell, and they all bring something different. But Miro, he's the total package. He's a special, special player. He's going to be a special player for a long time in this league, and some guys are gifted, and he's got the gift. And then on the flip side, he's a great person. He competes hard, and like I said, he wants to be one of the best players in the league, and that's his attitude, and he's got the skill to become one of those also.
Jim Neal, general manager of the Dallas Stars, joining us here on the Scott Rintoul Show. You come within a goal of getting to the Western Conference Final last year, an overtime loss, a tough one, I imagine. And once the emotion went away and you sat down, you deconstructed last season and you evaluated it. Jim, what did you identify as the missing ingredients in the Stanley Cup recipe that you're trying to create?
Well, I think you can never have enough. You know, you're always trying to add something of everything, I guess. You know, we like to be a little bit greedy as general managers building a team, but you're restricted, you know, because of cap and other, you know, situations. But I think it was adding a little bit more scoring. You know, we struggled last year, especially the first half scoring, but actually we were pretty good the second half, and it was once we found our identity. But anytime you can add some more scoring, this league is tough to score in. It's not easy, and especially if you're going to play the right way, and it's tough to score. And so that's one thing we're going to go after. We want to add a little bit more depth to our back end. We think we did that too, but adding Joe Pavelski, Corey Perry, and then I think the evolution of, you know, Rupe Hintz, Jason Dickinson, those younger players, Denis Gurianov, who was one of our first-round picks 4 years ago, they've all come in and added a little spark to us. They've added speed. They all got good sides. They all can skate, and they got the ability to score, and they're starting to do that. So they've, between Pavelski, Perry, and these young kids, they've added to that. And then on the back end, Sakara, we were able to add him, which just solidified our back end. So we think we're sitting in a good spot. You know, now we got to go do it. But the league is tight. I was telling somebody the other day, I really believe there's 20 to 22 teams that could win the Stanley Cup, and it's probably, this might sound funny, but it might be harder to get in the playoffs than it is to win the Stanley Cup nowadays. That's how hard it is. It's only 16 teams get in, and it's an 82-game grind, and 16 are getting in and 16 aren't going to make it. And if you get in, you got a good chance anybody winning it.
And I think you bring up a great point. It's so difficult to get in, and the hockey changes a little bit, so you've got to have this hybrid team that's good enough to get through the regular season and win that way, but then you've got to be able to flip the switch and play a certain way in the playoffs, and sometimes those two don't mesh. It's really difficult to build a roster. And as you mentioned, you believe there's 20 to 22 teams that could win the Stanley Cup. So with that in mind, and guys like Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry looking around, saying, oh, we could go anywhere, there's a lot of teams that would bring us in, what was the pitch to those two?
Well, I think they analyzed, you know, they had opportunities to go to a lot of different teams, but I think they sat down, they analyzed our team. They were very thorough. You know, we talked to them, we brought them in, met with them, and I think it's what we had in place. You know, we've got, you know, you're talking about Klingberg, Lindell, Heiskanen on the back end. You know, you're talking about Jamie Benn, Sagans, Rupe Hintz, you know, these younger kids, you know, Radulov. They like the mix of our team. They like where we're at. We got good goaltending, and I think they looked at it and said, you know what, this team's got a good chance as anybody, and we're fortunate they picked us. And it's kind of the way the cap system works. You know, you have to have cap room to fit in guys, and where we're at with our team, we had enough room to fit these guys in, and it worked well.
Pavelski is of particular interest because he not only brings the ability to score, he had almost 40 last year, and he's always been such a clutch playoff performer as well, but he brings leadership. What impact has he had on your group already?
Well, you know, that was kind of the thing that made these guys so intriguing, all of them that we brought in. You know, Corey Perry, you know, Joe Pavelski, they're all winners. And to be a winner, you do things the right way on the ice and, more importantly, probably off the ice. And to be able to bring in those type of players, you know, Joe Pavelski's been the captain, been in San Jose a long, long time, been an elite player. And, But it's an interesting watch because when we brought him in, I remember sitting down and talking to him. I said, now, Joe, you know it's going to be a transition time. And he knew that, but until you go through it, you don't understand it. And he struggled, and he's the first one to admit the first 10, 12 games, it was a struggle. You know, it's moving your family. It's your son getting into school and getting back into hockey with different people and figuring the system out in the team and not wanting to step on people's toes on the team maybe at the right time. And so there was a transition time, but the last five games we're starting to see the Joe Pavelski that we've seen before when he played in San Jose. And he's just kind of, he's one of those guys, he just, you know, some guys just kind of ooze the right things. And his persona around the team, it's really starting to take effect now. And he's taking charge on the ice. He's all the key plays. He's making the right plays. He's kind of taken Roope Hintz and Gerionov under their wings, playing with those guys. And he just, like I said, some guys, they just do it the right way, and he's one of those guys. And Corey Perry's in the same position.
The Dallas Stars have won seven of their last eight. Their general manager, Jim Neal, joining me here on the Scott Rentoul Show. Jamie Benn, it was a tough season offensively for him last year. He's off to a bit of a slow start again. How do you get him going?
He's actually, you know, that's funny how, you know, sometimes, you know, you watch guys analyze. I mean, and actually, Jamie's been playing pretty good hockey. He's been playing the right way. And unfortunately, not right now, not getting rewarded. But we know that's going to come around. He's hit a lot of posts, a lot of crossbars, and missed some empty nets that probably should have scored. But what I like the most is he's playing the right way. He's leading the team. He's playing a 200-foot game. He's blocking shots. He's in on forechecks. Everybody knows that he's a physical force on the ice, and that's the way he's playing. He's got a snarl, he's got a look in his eyes, and he's no fun to play against. And that's how we need Jamie to play. And if he plays like that, everything else is going to come his way.
You mentioned Roope Hintz, and he really opened a lot of eyes during the playoffs last season. He's carried that over into the beginning of this year as well. Is his ceiling higher than you would have anticipated when you drafted him and started to watch him develop?
Yeah, when we really liked him his draft years. Our guys had him ranked very high. But the one thing that probably held him back from being a higher pick was what was his ceiling going to be offensively. And he's grown into that. He's started to kind of think, figure himself out. He's such a great skater. He's 220 pounds and just a strong, strong skater. And I think he's starting to realize he can slow the game down a little bit instead of going 100 miles all the time. And by doing that, that's given him more time and space to make plays with the puck. And he's a total package. He's like, as I mentioned, he's got good size. He can skate. He's got a great shot. And I think he's just starting to kind of scratch the surface for who he's going to be down the road. And he's a big part of our team moving forward.
We've talked a lot about the guys who put the puck in the net, but the guys who keep it out are of utmost importance in today's NHL. And it wasn't that long ago, Jim, that most teams were looking for a goalie who would play 60-plus games. And in most cases around the league now, that's just not how it is. The ratio is much different. How has your view of how you structure the goaltending position changed over the years?
Well, I know when I came down to Dallas here, I knew that was something we're probably going to have to look at. And the main reason is really its schedule and travel. You know, with the parity in the game, the importance of every game, you know, the 2 points is so important, the pressure on goalies to play well every night. And then you mix that in with our schedule and travel. We started looking at this really about my second, third year I was here, and that's when we picked up Antti Niemi. And we realized that with our travel, with our back-to-backs, that we needed to have a fresh goalie that could, you know, somebody that could play, you know, 30, 40 games, split it or close to split it. And so that's kind of the way we've had to do it. And really it's because of where we're located here in our back-to-backs. And so we're fortunate. We got Ben Bishop, who's, you know, one of the top goalies in the league and has proven that year after year. And then Anton Khudobin's come in, and he's been the perfect fit. He can go in any time. He can sit out 2-3 games, and he's ready to get in there and gives you a solid game. And we've been very fortunate that both guys we know can come in and play a number one game for us anytime.
How much of a difference do you think it makes for your number one goalie if you limit him to 50-something starts, or in some cases 40-something starts, when it comes time for the playoffs?
Well, I think it's very important. I think not only the playoffs, but just the grind of the regular season. It's just, with the travel the teams have to do now, the pressure to win, goaltending is probably the toughest position in the game. And the mental strain on these guys, and then on top of it, you put the physical strain, it's a tough position to play night after night. And so if you can have a guy that can go give one of your goalies a breather. And the other thing is, too, that it affects how your team plays. You know, when your team knows that they've got somebody in there that's going to, if I make a mistake on the back end or up front with a turnover, I got a goalie that's going to make the save for me, it really changes the way your team, the mentality of your team. And I know our team is comfortable with either goalie being in there. They don't change their game at all. And I think that's the most important thing, is that the defense and the forwards, they know that I got a guy that's in there that doesn't matter who's in there. We're playing the same way every night, and that's important.
You guys compete in the Central, but it's really about the Western Conference, and you're talking about playoff positions. I don't know how much you are for prognostication, but when you look at the Pacific Division here early in the season, is it stronger than you would have predicted coming in?
I would say, yeah, probably a little bit, but not surprising. You know, you look at what teams did over the summer, you look at the evolution of their younger players. You know, Vancouver's a great example. These young kids now, you know, you got to give Jim Benning credit. It's not easy to be patient, but he's been patient, let guys develop at the right pace, and now you reap the rewards. And then you add in the free agent signings that teams have all made, and you know they're going to be better, and they've shown that. And, you know, Edmonton's got off to a great start. And, you know, anytime you got the two superstars they got, and, you know, it looks like their goaltending is better, they're going to be in every game. Vancouver's just a better team overall with the talent and the drafting they've done and their free agent signings. Arizona has been in the cusp for the last two, 3 years. You know now they're going to start knocking on the door. You know, you look at Anaheim with their drafting developing. So the division, it's tougher. You know, Vegas is going to be a good team. San Jose's off to a rough start. They're going to bounce back. Calgary's a good team. As I mentioned earlier, there's 22 teams. They're good, and anybody can beat anybody any night. And a lot's going to hinge on, you know, injuries are going to play a role in things, and how you're going to play the game consistently as we get into the grind of the regular season. That's what's going to determine who ends up making it.
Well, you said it earlier. It's just so hard to get into the playoffs now. Good news for you guys. You've played your way back into the fight. Congratulations on the recent success. Jim, thank you very much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Yes, you take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Sportsnet 650.